I make my way back to the bus stop, then use a nearby phone booth to call a cab. Nearly $50 later, I'm at the Starbucks. If before I was a big, hairy, sweaty guy in a Metallica t-shirt, now I'm a big, hairy, sweaty guy in a Metallica t-shirt who's beaten, bruised, and bleeding. I order a venti black coffee and leave $20 in the tip jar. Now they'll let me stay as long as I want, no matter how scary I look. I clean myself up some in the bathroom. Then I sit down and wait. And wait. And wait. She doesn't arrive until a little after 6. She doesn't apologize. She doesn't explain why it took her so long. She doesn't even come to my table right away. She stops at the counter and gets a coffee first. "I really need this," she says as she sits down. I know she's talking about the coffee, not anything else. I'm on my 4th coffee and the 2nd scone. "Thank you for coming," I tell her. It sounds too formal. "I thought about not coming," she says, "but I didn't seriously consider it." She looks at my face, my bruises. "You okay?"
"I'm fine."
"Remind me, what's your name today?"
"Michael."
She looks me over again. "Poor Michael." This is not how I imagine he thought the day would go. That makes 2 of us. I feel we're each standing a good 100 feet from the real subject. I have to move us closer. "Is it over now? With the 2 of you?" "Yes. So I guess you got what you wanted." "That's an awful way to put it," I say. "Don't you want it too?" "Yes, but not like that. Not in front of everybody like that." I reach up to touch her face, but she flinches. I lower my hand. "You're free of him," I tell her. She shakes her head. I've said yet another thing wrong. "I forget how little you know about these things," she says. "I forget how inexperienced you are. I'm not free of him, eh? Just because you break up with someone, it doesn't mean you're free of him. I'm still attached to Justin in 100 different ways. We're just not dating anymore. It's going to take me years to be free of him." "But at least you've started," I want to say. "At least you've cut that one attachment." I remain silent, though. This might be what she knows, but it's not what she wants to hear. "Should I have gone to Hawaii?" I ask. She softens to me then. It's such an absurd question, but she knows what I mean. "No, you shouldn't have. I want you here. With you. With me. When you can be. I want to promise more than that, but I know I can't." We both stay there on our tightrope, not looking down, but not moving either. We use her phone to check the local flights to Hawaii, and when we're sure there's no way Michael's family can get him on a plane, Brianna drives me home. "Tell me more about the girl you were yesterday," she asks. So I do. And when I'm done, and a sadness fills the car, I decide to tell her about other days, other lives, happier. I share with her memories of being sung to sleep, memories of meeting elephants at zoos and circuses, memories of first kisses and near first kisses in rec room closets and at Boy Scout sleepovers and scary movies. It's my way of telling her that even though I haven't experienced so many things, I have managed to have a life. We get closer and closer to Michael's house. "I want to see you tomorrow," I say. "I want to see you too," she says. "But I think we both know it's not just a matter of want." "I'll hope it then," I tell her. "And I'll hope it too." I want to kiss her goodnight, not goodbye. But when we get there, she makes no move to kiss me. I don't want to push it and make the first move. And I don't want to ask her for fear that she'll say no. So we leave with me thanking her for the ride and so much else going unspoken. I don't go straight into the house. I walk around to run out the clock more. It's 10 o'clock when I am at the front door. I access Michael to find out where the spare key is kept, but by the time I've found it, the door is opened and Michael's father is there. At first, he doesn't say a word. I stand there in the lamplight, and he stares. "I want to beat the crap out of you," he says. "But it looks like someone else got there first." My mother and sisters have been sent ahead to Hawaii. My father has stayed back for me. In order to apologize, I have to give him some kind of explanation. I come up with one that's as pathetic as I feel. There was a concert I had to go to, and there was just no way to tell him ahead of time. I feel awful messing up Michael's life to such a degree, and this awfulness must come through as I speak, because Michael's father is much less hostile than he has every right to be. I'm in no way off the hook. The change fee for the tickets will be coming out of my allowance for the next year. And when we're in Hawaii, I may be grounded for doing anything that isn't wedding related. I will be getting guilt for this for the rest of my life. The only saving grace is that there were tickets available for the next day. That night, I create a memory of the best concert Michael will ever go to. It is the only thing I can think to give him to make any of it worth it.